And if you will take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 32, number 32, we're going to continue our study just with Jacob's life as we go through. It actually begins in chapter 25, which we may touch on just a bit here to get the picture of where Jacob is at, how it is that he got here. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, we read in a prophecy to Jacob's mother, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now we get to Genesis chapter 28, and just verses 13 through 16. The Lord is speaking here. He says, and lo, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you wherever you go, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, and will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Now we get to chapter 31, where Jacob, leaves his father-in-law Laban. And in chapter 31, which we looked at last week, just even in verse 3, more promises to Jacob from the Lord. He says, and the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. And then verses 11 through 13. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. He said, lift up now your eyes and see that all the male goats, which are mating and striped, speckled and mottled, for I have seen that Laban has been doing to you. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth. He has some instructions from the Lord. And he also has some promises from the Lord that serve to encourage and to help him in going the way that he ought to go. And before we pick up in chapter 32, let's pray together and ask God just to help us in understanding and applying his word. Our God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that you have given to us your word that we might read it. And Lord, as we just reflect on and think of these stories, we may think of them of your people, and this week, Jacob in particular. Lord, we learn so much about who you are, how it is that you deal with your people. Lord, help us this morning, as Jacob learned, just what it means to depend on you and truly to rest in your grace. So again, we thank you for your word, and we ask for your help that we might hear it and that we might apply it to our hearts in the way that you have intended. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we will start in Genesis chapter 32. A few things we saw, even just by way of repetition there. If we just see verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 32, it says, now as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him. Jacob said when he saw them, this is God's camp. So he named that place Mahanaim. As we see that and look at it, we realize just that by grace, God assures us of his presence. He's just assuring us that he is there. We did a little bit of that history and just looking at and thinking about Jacob. leaving from his father because of fear for his life, because his brother had threatened to kill him. And then he goes to Laban, and then he leaves. And if you remember last week, he left, and Laban came and was not happy with the way that Jacob left, the things that he took with him. But in that case, Jacob kind of had a bit of an argument. He said, look, I worked for all this stuff. You gave, your daughters to me as wives. You don't really have any claim on these things anymore. But now Jacob, he's kind of out of the frying pan into the fire, where all these events have brought him right back to the place where he knows he's going to come face to face with his brother Esau, the one who he had taken advantage of and taking the birthright. Foolishness on Esau's part, and very opportunistic at the hands of Jacob. Also the one from whom he had stolen the blessing from his father by means of deception in cahoots with his mother in order to get that and to take it from Esau. And here Jacob sits and just realizing how important it would be to him all along the way to know that God was there. He didn't just say, go, and we're going to hope for the best. Or go, and you got yourself into this mess. I'd like to see how you're going to get out of it. He says, no, he was with him. The number of times, even that we read, angels appeared, God spoke and said, I will be with you. It's interesting, the angels of God met him. They were sent from God. He doesn't have to pass by and say, oh, look, there's some angels there. This was God actively taking a role and encouraging him in doing what he was told to do, even though it had to fill him with great fear. And when Jacob sees that this has happened, he says, this is God's camp. The name that he named the city. Some look at that and say it's kind of a dual thing because there's a meaning of two camps there. Some say maybe that's a picture of the fact that later on we'll see that Jacob divides his camp into two camps. Two groups of people trying to save at least half of what he's got from Esau. Maybe we can see it even more clearly, that two camps where Jacob realizes, somebody could come up and plug in the computer. It just died for the Zoom followers. So, but thank you very much. All right, so we get back that he named that place two camps. That Jacob realized, and we're going to talk about all the things that he had gathered up and received for himself. So this is all my stuff. This is all the things that I have gathered by my shrewd business practices, through my intuition and my cunning and my efforts. He realized this is my camp. He said, no, this is also God's camp. Sometimes we could even talk about the church, and well, this is my church. This is our church. And well, that's true. But it's God's church. We can look at this is my house. This is my car. This is my family. And that is true. But everything that is mine is God's. He owns it all. To him, it belongs. And as much as I may care about the things that are under my control and under my responsibility, knowing that God's also there and he cares for all of those things even more than I do, gives me a significant confidence and joy, wanting to be faithful to him because I know he is faithful to me. And so God right there, just making his presence known to Jacob, I think it settled a little bit of the uneasiness he may have had in knowing he's going to meet up with Jacob. But I also think it spurred him on to say, I need to have an even greater faith. And the way that I look at my life and I approach things we see is going to change. And I think all of that begins to settle into Jacob's mind as he realized God is with me again and again and again. And we look at we can't move on to verse 3. It's because we look at it, and just for us in our application, realizing God is here, we may even be thinking, boy, I wish there were some angels that would wait at my door when I go out, reminding me, God is going to be with you today. That I could see them protecting me. They could see the Spirit actually writing out a plan for my day and leading me the direction that I ought to go. Sometimes we look at that and say, boy, it'd have been nice to walk with Jesus because Jesus just makes things so much easier. If I could just see him, if I could just touch him, if he could just talk to me. But we understand we've got something even, Jesus said, you've got something far better. Just if he's sending a helper, he's sending the Spirit, what does the Spirit of God use to remind us and to help us to know that God is with us, that he is near, to give us confidence in his presence? Well, he makes his presence known to us by giving us his word. And we talk about that, our fighter verses, you know, Bible reading plans and those types of things that say we need to be people who love God's word, to delight in God's word, because in it God reminds us of his great power, his great and his wonderful knowledge, his love and his care for us, and the fact that I will be with you. Jesus even speaking, I will be with you wherever you go. I will return and receive you unto myself. See, God is there. He sees and he cares. And we are, if you receive that encouragement and that help from God's word. So we need, again, to be people of God's word. So when maybe that trial comes to us, we might walk out of one and know that we're facing something even greater. But I know my God is here because he's told me. I've seen the things that he said he's going to do and how faithful and good he is. And I will trust him. That's the assurance that we have. And God has given this to us by his grace. We also realize that by grace, circumstances affects one's perspective. We begin reading in verse 3. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He also commanded them, saying, thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight. The messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to your brother Esau, and furthermore, he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. For he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the company which is left will escape. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, O God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you. I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. For you said, I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered. So he spent the night there. Then he selected from what he had with him a present for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, "Pass on before me and put a space between droves." And he commanded the one in front, saying, "When my brother Esau meets you and asks you, saying, 'To whom do you belong, and where are you going, and to whom do these animals in front of you belong?' Then you shall say, 'These belong to your servant Jacob. It is a present sent to my lord Esau, and behold, he also is behind us.'" Then he commanded also the second and the third and all those who followed the droves, saying, "After this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. You shall say, 'Behold, your servant Jacob also is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. Then afterward I will see his face, and perhaps he will accept me.' So the present passed on before him while he himself spent that night in the camp. Now he arose that same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had." We realize these circumstances, they might change one's perspective. As Jacob looked at his life, you think back to his youth. We talked about it before. Opportunistic. Brother comes in hungry, desperately pleading for something to eat. "Yeah, I'll give you something to eat. You've got something that I want." And he took the brother's, Esau's birthright. And then to dress himself up and to deceive his father Isaac that he might receive a blessing. And to go to Laban and to do all of that work in order to gain possessions, to build up his he's had a family that's been built up. They see all those blessings that have come from the hand of the Lord that he quite possibly would look at it and say, "Again, these are my things. These are things that I have worked for." We realize, even as we think about that blessing that was taken, we read to talk about that as he would bless him and all the things that he had obtained. He was dividing into two camps. Now, I don't know how many camels or how many milking cows he may have had altogether, but he was sending a pretty significant gift of 550 animals to his brother. And saying, "If you would take these, I'm going to let it all go. It doesn't matter to me anymore, all of this stuff that is here." He says, "If you want it, you can have it. I'm willing to let it go." And then that, what is it that really matters to him? You know, not that stuff anymore. Even the blessing that he received, in some ways, giving it back. We even see in his address of Esau. You know, it was his father's blessing said that his brother would serve him. As Jacob looks at that blessing once again, how is it that he addresses Esau? "You are my lord. I am your servant." Every group he sent out, "Tell them your servant Jacob. Tell them your servant Jacob. Tell them your servant Jacob." Esau, Lord Esau, we humble ourselves before you and bring you this gift. What he had worked so hard by his own means and efforts to obtain, he was ready to let those things go in order to appease his brother. Some may look at this and have said that Maybe this is a lack of faith. God says, I'll be with you and everything's going to be just fine. Well, I have a backup plan just in case things don't work out. This could also be looked at as something, even a bit of repentance and understanding that, you know, maybe the means by which I obtained all of these things weren't the best. And even making some restitution to his brother, hoping that he would find favor in his sight. So what really matters? Well, simply living at this point matters. And in verse 31, he won't attack me, and he'll leave the mothers with the children alone, those whom he was responsible for. Different things mean more now than what they did in the past. And we also see there that in what does our confidence really rest? And that we see in Jacob's prayer in verse 9. Yeah, he's got this plan. I think we can say he's not really trusting in his plan. He's realizing that, well, this plan might just fail. This is a bigger challenge, an obstacle I'm facing right now that I have ever had to face before in my life. And I think we can read it again in verse 10 and just look at the humility in his heart where he says in verse 10, I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and all of the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I've become two companies. And where is his confidence? And we may look at Jacob and say he's a pretty self-serving. He gets all these things for himself, but he realizes here, he says in this prayer, he says, when I left my father, I had nothing but a staff. But you were with me. And all of the loving kindness and all of the faithfulness which you have shown to me over these years, I am not worthy of. I do not deserve the kindness and faithfulness which you have shown to me. And humanly speaking, we might say, you're right. You're a deceiver. You're in it for yourself. But as we look at this just throughout this chapter, what a wonderful picture of the need for grace. Because that must be said of each one who receives the loving kindness and the faithfulness of God. Oh God, I am not worthy of your love, of your grace, and of your mercy. And yet you have blessed me with so, so much. He says, I have two companies and nothing but a staff. Now I have to divide myself into two groups, and both groups are of significant size. But he continues to pray, where his confidence, I need you. You must deliver me from the hand of Esau because I fear him. Back to that promise. One is going to be stronger than the other. Esau is stronger. You know, to go back to verse 6 and just think about that. They send him out and say, hey, go see if you can find Esau. Just kind of feel things out and see how things are going. I say, okay. Oh, Jacob, Esau is coming. All right, that's good. And he's bringing 400 men with him. All men who probably they have just been engaged in a battle. And so here they come. If he wasn't feeling nervous and inadequate to deal with Esau, if even Esau came looking for a fight, he certainly did now, knowing the way that Esau was coming to meet him. To come back next week to find out how that encounter goes. But in what does his confidence rest? He realizes, it's not in me. I'm not worthy of these things. It's not in me. I could never have attained them for myself. Lord, you must deliver me because you have promised you will prosper me and make your descendants, my descendants, as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered. All he had was God's promise. Yeah, it was God's promise to him. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that was there. God had blessed him along the way, but it all came right down to it. He realized there's lots of things in this life I can do, but one thing, this is something I can't. We can achieve and attain great things in our lives and have lots of blessings and joy. When it comes right down to it, what do we need more than anything else? We need our sins to be dealt with. It's an enemy. That is a battle that we are inadequate to face and to deal with. No matter what good I may do, no matter what good I may have done, it can't not take away the sinfulness of our hearts. Everyone a sinner in the way of Adam. And there's no way that can be dealt with. The only way is to simply pray, Lord, deliver me from these things. I am unworthy of your loving kindness and your grace. I am in your hands. Deliver me as you have promised, for I have put my faith and trust in the death and the life of your Son. We see that picture here in Jacob and in his prayer. And we see how true it is about us as we come to God seeking for grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So as Jacob goes on with his plan, he goes and they talk with him. He arrives in verse 22 again. That same night took his two wives and two maids, 11 children, across the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had. And at this point, we see Jacob all by himself. From what I've read, the brook Jabbok, it's kind of down in a valley. There's things growing around. So when he sent everybody else across the brook, he may have been able to hear just the lowing of the cattle and the sheep and maybe hear the water going by and maybe people gathering things together, talking to each other off in the distance. But generally looking at this to say, oh, how nice, camping by the river. All by himself, without anybody else to bother him. What a pleasant and restful scene this might be. But we realize with Jacob, it's anything but that. Again, remembering he's sitting there, not wanting to kick back and think, oh, finally I can relax. He's sitting there realizing my brother is on the way. And I have no idea what tomorrow is going to look like. So we catch in verse 24 and finishing the chapter. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face. yet my life has been preserved. And the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Penuel, and he was limping on his thigh. Therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. And we see here with Jacob that by grace, God makes changes in a person. He makes changes in a person. He's wrestling. You know, even looking at this, it's a real event. Someone was there. Some people debate over who that man was. Is that truly God, Jehovah himself? Was that a messenger of God? It certainly seems that Jacob was aware that this just wasn't some guy that showed up he's wrestling with. This is from God, even suggesting that this is God. And he wrestled. You know, again, to see that picture, it kind of shows just how desperate his need is. A desperate, desperate need. I think to realize I am truly undone. I do not know what to do. I do not know where to go. The way things look to me, I'm going to be overtaken by and quite possibly killed by my brother unless God does something. So he prays to him, and now he's wrestling over these things. He's wrestling, struggling. And in that picture that they give, well, physically wrestling, but even in his mind, wrestling with what is going on, maybe looking at his past and looking at his future, and just struggling with these things. And we can pretty easily put ourselves in that position. Or sometimes we wrestle, not knowing the direction things are going. We might be able to look back at our past and we see how we got there. Not necessarily frustrated about the situation, but for ourselves, for getting into the situation that we are in. And just pleading and begging God to work, to bless, to help. So Jacob is there and he is alone. I'm not sure anybody else, they said even in that book, maybe nobody else could see him. He was dealing with things in his own heart and struggling and wrestling against God. I realize it talks about the fact that, you know, when he saw, the man saw he had not prevailed against him. You know, when I was younger and looked at this, well, that doesn't make any sense. If God sent an angel, Jacob couldn't defeat him. And if God was there himself to say, oh man, I thought Jacob would be easier to wrestle against than this. You know, God isn't struggling. I think it speaks more to not whether God could overtake him, because any wrestling match with God ends very, very quickly. But in this, it's the fact that Jacob, he wouldn't give up. It's not that he hadn't prevailed and that he could not defeat him. It's that David, that Jacob just hadn't said, yeah, I guess what's the use? Well, his faith, his confidence was in God, and he would continue until he was blessed. That's how desperate he was in understanding his need. So as we continue, I said there's a new desire. A new desire as he seeks the blessing of the Lord. Well, he had been blessed by his father when he left home. He had been blessed by men just in providing for them, even looking at Laban. But now he's seeking something that's far better, something that's far more necessary. He says, I understand God blessed me with all of those things, but now this is my life we're talking about here. And I think even in trusting him to provide for him and fulfill the promise that he made concerning his seed and everything else, he's humbling himself before him. Which again, interesting is that if just how seeing how he's humbled here and what it is that he wants. He's wrestling, worried about Esau, thinking there's no way I can fight against him. So what does God do? Well, he touched his thigh. So now not only has he got to go to Esau with inferior strength, but he's limping. He says, now I can't even run away. But he says, bless me. Bless me. I will let you go if you will bless me. We see verse 20, and we don't know what the nature of that blessing is. It said he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, verse 30, for I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. And looking at and understanding, he says, you know, some of that language is I've seen God face to face, and now I live. Again, that picture of God's grace and his presence. Lord, bless me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, save me. I have a desperate, desperate need. A need that I cannot deal with on my own. And we look at that, and that refers to our sinfulness. I can't. What am I supposed to do? You must bless me. You must save me, or I have nothing. And then to say, I've seen God face to face, and now I live. In Christ there is life. In Christ, there is hope. There is hope and there is joy. And we realize that comes to us because of God's grace to us. And Jacob is learning all of these things as he goes through this struggle and this wrestling and this trial. And we can see the same things in the way God works with us and how it is that we incline ourselves to him and respond to his grace. So he has a new desire. He's seeking the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. I don't think what he got that day was more sheep or more camels or more children or anything else. So what he got that day was life. It was hope. And God gave it to him. And then finally, look, what's in a name? We also see here, this is where Jacob's name was changed. He said, your name shall no longer be, verse 28, he says, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. You know, interesting to look at that, even as he got his name Jacob. Jacob had been wrestling with men all his life. From the day he left the womb, he had a hold of Esau's ankle as they were born. Just striving and striving and striving, deceiving, working his angles, and all of those things. And now he wrestles with God. And where has he ended up? Now he ends up with life. I don't want to give too much clue into next week. But to realize he's got confidence. He has hope. Because God has blessed him with far more than anything he could have attained for himself. In those names, Jacob's name was the cunning, really kind of the cunning, self-helpful deceiver. God said, that's who you were. But now, you're a prince with God. Now you have life. Because you've striven with God. And you have prevailed. You've ended up where you needed to end up. You are where you need to be. And a change that took place in Jacob's heart, still not perfect. As we keep going, we'll find out there's still issues. But isn't that true about all of us who deal with sin? So we'll continue to have our struggles. But oh, the joy of knowing God's grace and having our lives changed and having life because of His Son, Jesus Christ, and learning more and more day by day to trust in Him. Let's close in prayer. God, we thank You for this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your word, and we are so thankful for Your grace. Lord, we, like Jacob, understand how worthy we are of Your kindness and Your faithfulness to us. But yet Your grace to us is a gift. It's not something we need to earn. It's not something we need to deserve or be worthy of. It is something which You have chosen to give. And we are so thankful for that this morning. Or might we learn more and more day to day to depend upon that grace. Trusting You for each and every day and being satisfied with everything that You give to us, saying, all I need more than anything else is Christ. God, I need Your grace. Oh, I am so dependent upon You. And then live our lives just thankful and in response to Your great and wonderful love and grace toward us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.